We're going to start here at the bottom of Ched Amud Bet by the two dots. Gemara here is quoting from the Mishnah, Meuberet Mishivada Ubra. And Meuberet is considered to be Misuleket Damim, to not have a Chazakah of Sing Damim once the fetus is apparent, once it's known that she is pregnant. Bekama Karat Ubar. How long does it take before it's obvious that a woman is pregnant? Sumchas Omer Mishim Rabbi Meir Shlosha Chodoshim. It's 3 months. Vafel Pishen Rayala Davar Zeched Davar. Even though we have a proof to this, we do have a mention of it in the Pasuk, Shinemar, Vahik Mishlosh Chodoshim Vechule, that when it comes to Tamar, who had become impregnated from Yehuda, it says that after 3 months, it became apparent that she was pregnant. Gemar says, Zechad Davar, Kraktiv, why is this only a mention? This is a good proof. Vrayagdolihi, why wouldn't you quote this as a full-fledged proof to the fact that it's 3 months? Shemdika Dialdo the Tet, Vide Dialdo the Shiva, because there are different durations of pregnancy, at least according to the Gemara. A woman can carry for 9 months, or a woman can carry for 7 months. And in that case, when it comes to carrying for 9 months, a third of her days would turn out to be 3 months. So Shlosha Chodeshim is correct when you're talking about a full-term pregnancy to 9 months. But when you're talking about a pregnancy of 7 months, then it would, a third of that would be 2 months and a third of a month. From the pasuk, you might have concluded that, although the Torah is indicating that Hukar Ubra has to do with a third of the pregnancy. From that conclusion, you would have said that if the woman gives birth after 7 months, that 2 1/3 months would have been Hukuru Bra. So the Kamash Malon, or the din that we say here about Hukuru Bra, is 3 months, irrespective of the duration of the pregnancy. That din we can't learn out of the Pasuk. It's not clear from the Pasuk that that's the case. And because we see in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that it tells us there is no such thing as Hukuru Bra Lishlish by a 7 month pregnancy of 2 1/3 months, because it go but the Ruba Dinashim, go after the majority of women. And since the majority of women give birth after 9 months, then Hukuru Bra is defined to be after 3 months. She had a chazakah that she was pregnant, meaning that hukaru brash has reached the point where we know that she's pregnant, but then she has a sighting of blood. And after that, she miscarries, and the miscarriage is something that is either nothing, or a non-viable fetus, or something that's not recognizable as a human being. That sighting of dam has a din like any meuberet, and any meuberet has a din of misuleket damim. She sees him as misuleket damim. When she sees this sighting, that sighting of blood, it was still classified as meuberet, even though she never really was meuberet, because she miscarried over here. Again, even though we don't have a proof from it, we have a mention of it in the pasuk that seems to indicate that. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk in Yishayahu, harino chalnu mo yaladnu ruach. So there it's describing the feelings of Bnei Yisrael, and how they've called out to Hashem, and they are grappling with the difficulties and asking Hashem for help. And it says, Harino, we became impregnated. Chalnu, we became sick, or we're full of travail. Moli elanu ruach, as if we gave birth to nothingness, emptiness, a non-viable fetus, miscarried. Mai zecha ledavar. Why do you mean it's only a mention or a possible proof? Are raya gdolai. Again, it's explicit in the pasuk here that it's called the use of the verb leida with a ruach. Somebody says, no, kiktiv aikrob is charimtiv. That pasuk's not really talking about females. It's not talking about a real pregnancy. It's talking about males. It's talking about Bnei Yisrael. It's talking about the mashal and nimshal. So it's as if they gave birth to nothing. But it's a mashal. It's not telling you that literally giving birth to an air sac or a miscarriage is considered to be a leida. For a minute, is that really true that the leida da ruach is classified as enough of a leida, so that you don't have to worry about the dam being made late, that it's dayashata? Remini, kashata shnaim ulishlishi pila ruach, o kodavar she'enu shel kayamar, izu yoledet bizov. This has to do with the din of a woman who has, during her 11 days of Yemei Ziva, had a sighting of blood 3 days going into the birth. So in a normal pregnancy where it was going to full term, she sees dam going into the end of the pregnancy, and then she gives birth. If she gives birth at that point, we assume that the dam that she saw was dam of the pregnancy, a dam of the leida. And therefore that dam has a classification of dam leida, and has all the dinim of dam leida that are laid out in the beginning of Parshat Tazria. On the other hand, if there's a cessation of that flowing of blood before she gives birth for 24 hours, if that cessation happens, then we assume that those 3 days of sighting of blood were zava or zava gdola. And then when she gives birth, that's a new dam leida, and she's what's called leida bezov. She's giving birth while she's a zava, and afterwards she'll have to bring a korban for her leida, and a separate korban tara for her yemei ziva. So the Gemara over here talks about a case where she's sending blood going into the birth, But then when she gives birth, she miscarries, again, a ruach, something that's an empty sack, or a non-viable fetus. Then that's considered to be yoledet bizov. We assume that the dam she saw before is real dam ziv'a, not dam leida, because she didn't have a proper leida here. In the end, what she gave birth to was not a viable fetus. Therefore, it's not classified as a leida. So now we're saying over there that when you have a sighting of dam, going into a leida of a pila ruach, or enusho kayama, that's not considered to be a leida. Because we're classifying that dam as ziva and not dam leida. There was no cessation of the blood before the birth. Had it been classified as a birth, then that dam would also be classified as the dam of leida. But you see here that the Braita is suggesting that that's called dam ziva. If you think it's a good leida or it's a full-fledged birth, koshi samuch leida, rachmana tare. That's what we explained before, that when you have the pangs of birth leading into the birth and there's a flow of dam prior to the birth, then that dam is considered to be part of the dam leida, and it's dam tohor. It's not considered to be a dam nida or dam ziva. Samra papi, hanach me'eit leit derabonon. Me'eit leit. This whole chashash of making a woman tmei'ah retroactively to 24 hours is a din derabonon. Enoch anami, the leida here is not a real leida in a Torah. Nevertheless, the chachamim did not impose their gzeira over here. They said that me'eit leit applies to normal situations. In this unusual situation where the woman miscarries, over there we're not going to say that there is made late and tayashata. But Papa Amar, midehu taimael mishum derasha kaved aleha ve'evera kvedim aleha. What is the reason that a pregnant woman does not see damim? Why is she misuleket min adam? So the suggestion of Papa over here is because her head is heavy and her body, her limbs are heavy. I mean, the weight of the fetus and carrying the fetus and the difficulty of the pregnancy cause a cessation of her menstruating. So if that's the case, hochanami, the same is true here, rosho ve'vera kvedimala. For the same reason, even when she miscarries in the end, along the time that she was pregnant, she had the same feelings and the same physical indications of a pregnancy. Yes, it terminated, and it didn't end up being in a full-fledged pregnancy or a viable fetus, but nevertheless, she did have the physical symptoms of being pregnant. And if the symptoms are what caused the blood to be misselected and not appear, then she had those same symptoms, and that's why she doesn't have blood here. So the reason we'll say it's dayashata is because she is a mu'beret. Till the moment that she gives birth, she is a mu'beret. After she gives birth, that's not considered to be a leida, but the pregnancy was classified as a pregnancy. The woman has a sighting of dam, and then, very shortly after, we find out that she's pregnant. Almost immediately after she has the sighting, it reaches the 3-month point and we realize that she is pregnant. What is the din? At the moment that she had the sighting, she had not reached the point where her fetus was obvious. The dam will be like dam from someone who's not musuleket damim, and therefore she'll be mitama mi'eit leit. Oh, duma, kevin desamuchla chazai lo mitamyo. Or maybe because she had the sighting very close to the hukar ubra, we'll consider it to be one package. If it's a single package, then it's dayashata. What is the reason that a woman is classified as misuleket damim, and she does not normally have sightings of blood during a pregnancy? Again, because of the physical symptoms of her head being heavy, her body feeling heavy. So be idno de chazai in rasha kaved alea, vein evirak vedim alea. The time that she saw it, and had yet to reach the point of hukar ubra, and she only gets those symptoms or those feelings of a heavy head and the heavy limbs once it reaches the threshold or milestone of hukar ubra. So that prior to that point, she doesn't have those symptoms, and therefore she will not be classified as a misuleket damim. This older gentleman had a question for Rabbi Yochanan. Higia et vesta bimeyu bura velo badka mahu. It came to her normal cycle while she was in her Yimei Yubra, when she was pregnant. So normally when it comes to a woman who is cycling, we have to check when the cycle comes about. Whenever she should be menstruating on the regular interval, she has to check herself at that interval, because we assume Oreach Babizmano, the guest comes at the proper time, meaning that we assume that she's going to have her menstruation at the time that the normal interval turns out. Over here she's pregnant. So since she's pregnant, we know that she's considered to be Misuleket Damim. Do you nevertheless have to check to make sure that there is no dam? So he says, I'm asking this question according to the one who says that the vestot, having fixed intervals for a nidah, is a dindoraita, meaning that you have to check at the time that you expect to be menstruating, you have to do a bidika. If that din is doraita, The right, obviously, it's not written in the Torah, meaning halacha le Moshe mis Sinai. My, what's the din? Kevin de vesto doraita by bibika. Since vesto doraita din halacha le Moshe mis Sinai, she has to check, irrespective of the fact that she's pregnant. Oduma kevin de dameh mesulakim, or maybe because she's pregnant, and knowing that she's pregnant, we know that the dam will not come. Lo by bibika, she doesn't have to check. I'm late, tenitua. We have it in a Mishnah later on in the Masechta. Rabbi Meir or Mary Maita Mechabeh, she was hiding. Vigia shat vesta. And it reached the time when she normally would see damim v'lo badka, and she didn't check herself. She was in hiding for fear of an army that had come into the city, marauders, thieves. She's in hiding, so she's in fear. When she's hiding there, she forgets to check at her normal interval. Torah. We assume she is Torah. Shecharida misalekhet damim. Because fear causes the normal menstruation not to come. So since that's the case, we would not expect oreach bizmano. We would not expect the guest to come at its normal time. And if she missed that check, we don't assume because she missed the check now when she checks later that it's automatically, retroactively, we assume that she saw the dam at the regular time. No, we see now, whenever she checked, whenever she has a sighting now, that's the point at which the dam came in dayashata. On that, we're midayek, time odike charida. Because there's fear here, that's what causes the dam to go away. Halakha charida, if it had not been a point of fear, she wasn't in a point of fear, vigya vesta, and you reached the point of vesta velo badka tmeya, then she would be Tmeah. We'd automatically assume that at the regular interval the dam came, and she's automatically Tmeah because she didn't do a check. So Alma, from this you could see, first of all, Vestot Deoraito, that these intervals and the need to check at the proper intervals are Din Deoraita, Din Alach L'Mishim Yisinai. Became into Ika Charida. Nevertheless, when there's fear there, Dameh Mesulah came below Bayi Bidika. Despite the fact that this Din is a Din Deoraita, nevertheless, when it comes to Charida, this exogenous variable of fear, which takes away the damim, and she doesn't check there, we don't assume, because she didn't check, that the dam came anyway, because she has a mitigating factor, which is fear causes dam to go away. So let us say the same thing over here, Ochanami, that when you're talking about an uberet, yes, in Ochanami, that they need to check at the regular interval as a din d'oraita, nevertheless, you have a mitigating factor here, which is that damea misulakim, that her blood is removed, she doesn't see blood here. Again, because the Gemara thinks that Roshek Kvedaleha or Veraha Kvedimaleha, and those physical symptoms or those exogenous variables cause the blood not to come, and therefore she will not require a bdika. Just like by the case of Charida, where she should have been checking, and she didn't check, but we have a reason to believe that the dam wouldn't come then because of Charida, we'll say the same thing by Meuberet. By Meuberet at the regular interval, in Ochanami she should have been checking at that time, but she's not checking because Musulaka Damim, there's an exogenous variable, there's a mitigating factor which will tell us that there shouldn't be dam here. And therefore, if she misses the bdika, we don't automatically assume that she's tmeya at that interval. Minika achitigmo. Minika is classified as being Musulaka Damim until she finishes nursing the child. Tarabanan. Minika shemait bina betoch esrim varba chodesh. The normal nursing of a child went on for 24 months, and that was considered to be the time where you're gomel, that when you wean the child from nursing. So if a child passes away before the completion of the 24 months, Hari k'chol anashim, this woman goes back to being a regular woman. She's no longer nursing, therefore she goes back to the regular status of a woman where it's not dayashata. You would conclude from that, if she continued to nurse past the normal 24 months for 4 or 5 years, dayashata divrei Rabbi Meir. That's the position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir believes the reason that a woman who is nursing does not menstruate is because dam ne'akar v'naseh chalav. The blood that normally came out from menstruation now being converted into milk to feed the baby. So therefore, as long as she's nursing, there will be no blood that comes out. There'll be no sighting of the menstruation because she is nursing. Therefore, you have two conclusions from this. If the baby dies before the 24 months, she will become like a regular woman and begin to menstruate again. Therefore, there's no more dayashata. Conversely, if she goes beyond the 24 months, goes on for an extended period of time, as long as she's nursing, she's not going to menstruate, and therefore, dayashata. Position of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim. This is a Tosefta, and the Tosefta, Rabbi Yehuda's name is not mentioned, only Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. Dayan, Shatan, Kol Yisrim, Barba Chodesh. That is not defined by the period of time that she nurses, but rather by the 24 months. For 24 months, she's considered to be Musulekat Damim, irrespective of whether she is nursing or not nursing. It has nothing to do with the nursing that causes the blood not to come or the menstruation not to happen. It's rather because of the physical trauma of pregnancy and birth. That physical trauma causes the Damim not to come for a 24-month period. Fikach, because of that, if the woman nurses the baby for 4 or 5 years, After 24 months, that's it. She becomes like a regular woman. So now, Kshetim Salomar, the conclusion that we can draw from this braita is, the Divrei Rabbi Meir, Damnei Karvin Asechalav. Position of Rabbi Meir is premised on the fact that the blood of menstruation is converted into milk, and therefore, as long as you're nursing, you're not going to menstruate. The Divrei Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, again, whether Rabbi Yehuda belongs in there, is depends on the gear. So we have an argument versus the Tosefta. Her limbs separated in order to allow the birth, and that physical trauma from the birth that causes the dam to go away. Nafsha here being the blood does not choser that is after 24 months. She's only healed after 24 months, so it's got to do with a fixed period of time, nothing to do with the nursing. Now the Gemara asks, Lefichach, Rabbi Meir Lomali. Why did you have to write the Lefichach and the Tosefta? Why is that necessary, the Gabei Rabbi Meir? Because we would have known that. If the baby dies within 24 months, then she becomes like a regular woman. It's clear that he associates the menstruation with the nursing. And therefore, as long as you nurse, you're not going to have a sighting of dam. So according to Rabbi Meir, why do I have to tell you that information of the Tosefta would have been obvious? Marzez Mishon Lefikach to Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi would not have been obvious. Lefikach to Rabbi Yossi Lomali. Why is it obvious Rabbi Yossi also? He says that even if the baby dies before the 24 months, you get the 24 months. So it's clear that the 24 months are the guiding factor over here. Madu Tame, but what I have thought in the position of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi Tarte Ile. He thinks that there are two contributing factors to the fact that there's no dam here. One is the trauma, the physical trauma of birth. Number two is the nursing. So if either one of those is present, then there will be no dam. And therefore, you'll have a minimum of 24 months, but it can go on beyond the 24 months. Because if you're nursing, he also holds like dam ne'akarv ne'asechalav. So he says for both reasons, the physical trauma of birth plus the nursing will cause the dam to go away. Mashallah, that's not the case. That Rabbi Yossi only thinks the only guiding principle over here is the 24 months. And therefore, once you pass 24 months, even if you are still nursing, there is no dispensation for Daya Shata. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a brayta that supports our understanding of Rabbi Meir and the other Chachamim here. The Damna Akarv Naseh Chalav, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says the reason a nursing woman is considered to be Mesulekat Damim is because the blood of menstruation is converted into the milk. It's to do with the physical trauma of birth. And therefore, it takes 24 months before her body physically recovers and she begins to menstruate again. Amar Yibulai, my time with the Rabbi Meir, what is the position of Rabbi Meir premised on? There's a pasuk in Iyov that says, describing how man is so little compared to God, it says, Mi itain tahor mi tamei. Who can make something tahor from something that is tamei? Lo echad. So the pashtu, the buzz of lo echad means no one. No one can do that. But the implication is that's the way Rashi explains it over here is lo echad, not anybody except the echad, the one above, meaning God. So Rashi reads it as lo echad, is it not God that can do this? The way the Pashtun about it is no one else can do it, implying that the only one who could do it is God. So here, what's the suggestion? The suggestion is someone who takes something tamei, that is the dam of menstruation, which is tamei, and it's converted into milk, which is tahor. So who can do such a miraculous thing of converting that which is tamei into tahor? Only Hashem. V'rabbonon, how the Rabbanon can explain that pasuk? They're explaining it like Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan zu shikvat zera. That's talking about the shikvat zera of the man. When he impregnates a woman, it creates a fetus, a child that is born that is tahor. So you take something shikvat zera, which in itself is tamei, and from that you produce a human being, which is tahor. Shu tamei, v'adam notzar mimenu tahor. Rabbi Elazar omer, elu mei nida. This is referring to the paraduma, the sprinkling the waters with the ashes of the paraduma in it. Shah mazeh umazina lav tahor, the one who sprinkles it, as well as the one who sprinkled on our tahor, vinogeya tamei, and someone who touches it is tamei. Mara says, wait a minute, umazeh tahor? Someone who sprinkles the ashes and water of the paraduma is really tahor? Vaktiv. Doesn't the pasuk say, umazeh me'an hitayicha beis begadav? The one who sprinkles the waters of the paraduma has to wash their clothing, meaning they become tamei. My mazeh. What is the meaning of the word mazeh here? It means nogea, the one who touches it. Vaktiv mazeh, vaktiv nogea. We have two separate psukim. We have a pasuk that explicitly says if you touch it, you're tamei. And now I have a pasuk that says mazeh. How can you say mazeh means nogea if we have an explicit pasuk that tells you by nogea? Vod mazeh by kibus. It's a big difference. The pasuk that talks about nogea touching it says the person is tamei, but their clothing is not tamei. On the other hand here, when it says mazeh, the one who sprinkles it, it says not as only is he tamei, but his clothing is also tamei. Nogea lo ba'i kibus. And when it comes to no touching it, you don't require the laundering of your clothing or putting them into the mikveh. Elamai mazeh, no se. Mazeh over here doesn't mean the one who sprinkled it, the one who carried it. The lichtov no se. So then say that. We had no geya. Touching it, you become tamei. So say, carrying it, you become tamei, and you require kibbutz begadim. Tarat begadim. Kamash malon. From there we conclude, the pasuk wrote it as mazeh to teach you, to add the dari kishirazah, that you have to carry enough that it is sufficient to doing the hazat medida, doing hazav the paraduma. So how much makes you tamei when you carry it? The amount that would be used towards being mitahir someone. That works well according to one who says that the sprinkling of the waters of the paraduma and the water and the ashes of the paraduma require a shiur. That the azad, the sprinkling, could be any amount to make the person taor. Michael Maymar, then what are you going to say about that? How come the person who carries it requires a shiur? There's no shiur there. So even according to one who says that when you sprinkle it, there is no shiur. That's talking about what reaches the individual. Any amount of the waters and ashes of the paraduma that reach the individual, that makes him taor. Of a bimono, what's in the kli that you take out, that you use to do the sprinkling, that being in shiur, that requires a minimum shiur. Kiditnan, we have a mishnah. Kama yuba mayim v'ei behem kidei azah. How much do you need in the water in order to be kidei azah? Kidei shibol rashi givolim v'yazah. If you're able to dip the hyssop in, there's be enough water in there that they will soak up into the hyssop and you'll be able to sprinkle it. V'ainu darmar shlomo. This is what Shlomo said about paraduma. Amarti achakma v'hi rechoka mimeni. I tried to understand it, and it was too far for me. I was unable to understand it. And that's because the person who is becoming tahor through the sprinkling on him, plus the one who sprinkles it, both of them are tahorim. They remain tahor. They're not affected by the ma'im and efer of the paraduma. On the other hand, someone who touches it or comes into contact with it is tamei, and someone who carries it, if it has a shiur in it, not only are they tamei, but also the begadim are tameim. So why is it that those that are involved with it are tohrim, and those that come into contact with it all of a sudden are tmeim? Tosafot points out over here that coming into contact with it is only when it's not for the purpose of hazah. I mean, carrying it or touching it, not for the purpose of hazah. But the mazeh, the one who is sprinkling it, if he is doing it for the purpose of sprinkling or carrying it for the purpose of sprinkling, he remains tahor. It's only someone who carries it or comes into contact with it when they're not in the process of doing sprinkling, then they will be tamei. Izu is kena. What is classified as someone who has reached the point where they are old enough and could be misulek adamim because of menopause? Kol shavru alei shlosh onot samuch leziknuta. That she reaches the point where she has three cycles where she doesn't see blood and she's at the age where she could reach menopause. Hechi dami samuch leziknuta. How do we determine what is called samuch leziknuta? How do we determine when the threshold is for reaching menopause? When her friends call her old lady, then that's considered to be, that's it. When she gains that title, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ima, probably the second Ima doesn't belong here, Veinu Busha. That is, anytime they call her Ima, not mother, but probably maternal grandmother, when you call her granny, and she doesn't get embarrassed by that. What does it mean that she's not embarrassed over here? That Rabbi Shimon says that when you call her a granny, she doesn't get embarrassed. What does it mean that she doesn't get embarrassed? Does it mean that she's not makpedet? That she doesn't stop you from saying it? She doesn't say, don't say that? Or does it mean, ain't no busha? That she's not embarrassed by it. My nafkamina, what's the difference between these two opinions? When I busha, she's embarrassed, ain't no makpedet, but she doesn't say anything. She is embarrassed by it. She feels, you see that she's uneasy about it, but she doesn't tell someone not to call her granny. Because she knows that she's that age, but she's still embarrassed about reaching that age. So this is a determining factor for when it's considered to be ziknuta, when she is a zkena. Because once she reaches that point of zkena, if she has three intervals where she doesn't see dam, then she's considered to be misuleket damim from here on in. And if she has a sighting after that, it's dayashata. Vikama ona. How long is a normal interval for a woman? Amar Reish Lakish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Nisiya ona benonit. A average interval for menstruation is 30 yom, 30 days. Rav Amar Rav Chista, 30 yom, it's 20 days. Below pliga, and they don't argue. Marka chashiv yimei tum'ah, v'yimei tara. One of them is counting the entire cycle, both the cycle of when she is tamei and when she is tahor. And therefore you come to 30 days. You have the shiva yimei nida, you have the charasa yimei ziva, and then you have the days where she's completely tahor, and then those are about roughly 30 days. Umar lo chashiv yimei tum'ah. And one of them is not counting the days of tum'ah. And the way Rashi explains this is that we've lost 10 days here. How did you lose 10 days here? So Rashi says 7 days of Nida. So we understand that. That's the 7 days of Tuma. Plus 3 days of Yimei Ziva. The 3 days, because if a person sees blood for 3 consecutive days as a Yimei Ziva during those 11 days of Yimei Ziva, then she becomes a Ziva Gdola. So the Yimei Tuma are considered to be 10 days. 7 of the basic Nida, plus 3 during the period of Yimei Ziva. So those are the 10 days of Tuma. So based on that, you get 30 days for a full cycle, if you're talking about the entire cycle. If you're talking about the Dmei Tum'ah, that's 10 days, plus another 20 days where she's considered to be a Tehora. Now Tosafot points out that this is not so simple, it's not an easy way to explain it, because what does the 3 days have to do with anything over here? Why are those days classified as Dmei Tum'ah? And therefore he quotes from the Rabbeinu Hananel, an alternative Girsa in the Gemara, that Rava said it was actually Chav Gimel Yamim, 23 days. That makes a lot more sense. 30 days is talking about Yemei Tumah veYemei Tahara, Nida and non-Nida. On the other hand, Rova is counting 23 days. That's the interval where she's Tahor. She has 7 days of Yemei Nida every month. And then she has the 23 days where she's Tahor. And so 23 is the number when he's only counting Yemei Tahara. Tana Banan. Zekina Shavru Alaha Shloshonot Virata. She had 3 intervals that passed. 3 months that she did not see her menstrual cycle. And then all of a sudden she sees it. Dayashata. Like we said in the Mishnah over there, when she sees it, Dayashata, she doesn't have any Tumah retroactively, because she's classified as a Musulaket Damim. Va'od. And then after that, Avru Alesh Losh Onot. Another 3 intervals pass, 3 cycles pass, she doesn't see anything, then Verata, and then all of a sudden she sees it again, Dayashata. Then again, we don't say the Tumah is Lemafreya, we say that this is her first sighting after she was classified as Musulaket Damim. Va'od. And then a third time, Avru Alesh Losh Onot. She had 3 cycles pass, Verata, and then she sees blood again. Now she becomes like all other women. Then her dam, when she has a sighting, has this retroactive tumah like any other woman. Now why is this? This has to do with the difference between what's classified as misuleket damim and shinui veset. Veset is the fixed interval of cycle that a woman has. We just saw before that the normal cycle of a woman is 30 days. What happens if a woman has an unusual cycle? She has a cycle of 70 days, 90 days. So tomorrow later on we'll discuss that there is such a concept, that certain women have intervals that are longer or shorter than 30 days. If they establish it for 3 times, 3 cycles, then that becomes their fixed interval. Over here, we have a woman who normally saw every month, and that was her veset, that was her regular interval, regular cycle. Then all of a sudden, she stops seeing for 3 times in a row. When she stops seeing, we assume she's musuleket damim, that she stops seeing blood, she's reached menopause, because she's at the age where that could happen. And she just missed 3 cycles. So it makes sense that she misuleket damim. Then all of a sudden she has a sighting. When she has a sighting, we think, oh, that's an exception. That happened. It just happened to come. It's not that she's becoming a nida, that the blood's coming again. And the second time she sees it, we assume the same thing. We assume that she's still misuleket damim. She's reached menopause. And these sightings are just unusual circumstances. But once she's had this 3 times, where she's had basically an interval of 90 days 3 times, what we say is that she's not misuleket damim. She hasn't reached menopause. Her cycle has just changed. She used to have a cycle of 30 days. Now she has a cycle of 90 days, because 3 times in a row she's seen on the 90th day or the 91st day. So now she's changed cycles. It's not that she reached menopause, but rather that she's changed cycles. And that's what the Braita describes over here. Now, the Braita modifies that and says, V'lo shekibna. Doesn't have to be if she did it exactly that way. Ela afilu pichata ve'otira. Even if it was less or more. The way Rashi describes it over here is, for instance, if the intervals are not equal. It's not an interval of 90 days, 90 days, 90 days, but rather, the first time she saw it, it was 90 days later. The next time she saw it was 91. The next time she saw it was 92 days. That's hotira, she added days. Or pichata is the first time she saw it was 93, then 92, 91. So she is seeing it on a larger interval, but the interval is not exact. It's not the same amount each time. Nevertheless, she is considered over there to have established a new veset, or shinui veset, and it's not considered or classified as being misuleket damim. So Gemara wants to understand this. Afilu pichata. So you're suggesting over here, even if she has the interval be less and less days each time, velo mibayei kavna, and certainly in a case where she has the same interval each time, then she would be considered like all women. Gemara says, adrabah, but that makes no sense. Ki kivna kavala vesta. When she has the same interval each time, she's established a new cycle. She established a new cycle, but dayashata, then she shouldn't have to have the tuma limafreya, because someone who has a fixed cycle, at least according to Rabbi Dosa, when she has her sighting of her dam, then dayashata. So if she's having a fixed cycle, then why would you suggest over here that's a kol shekein from when she didn't have a fixed interval of 90 days? She had 91, 92, 93, or the other way around. Why do you think it's obvious from that to learn to a case where she had a fixed cycle? V'chitayma rabbonani. If you want to suggest here that it's the Rabbanan de Pligia Le de Rabbi Dosa, they're arguing Rabbi Dosa and say that even a woman with a fixed interval has to worry about Tumah L'Mafreya. Damar Isha Sheyesh La Vesed Mitamah Me'Leit. Even if she has a fixed cycle, nevertheless, we still worry about Tumah L'Mafreya. Ipcha Mi Ba'Ilei. You should have said it the other way around. V'Leima. It shouldn't start with kivna and then say the others. It should say first, pichtav otira, certainly over there, you're tmeya alamafreya after three sightings. But even in a case where she has a fixed interval, according to the chachamim, she still has a din of tumala mafreya. So it should have been written the opposite way. So the first answer to the Gemara is today. Change the bright to the read that way. Lo shepichtav otira, ela afilu kivna. Change the order of what's written, the modification at the end of the brighta. That not only in a case where she has non-fixed intervals do we say there's tumala mafreya, but even in cases of fixed interval, she has tumala mafreya. Vibay te me'achi kamar. That drop the word afilu, and this is a way to read the modification of the brayta. Velo shekivna, not a case where she has a fixed interval afterwards. Ella shepichtav otira, not afilu, but ella. But rather, in a case where she has a fixed interval afterwards, then dayashata, because we hold like Rabbi Dosa. On the other hand, if she has three cycles where she doesn't have a fixed interval, then she's mitamal mafreya, because we established that she's not misulek damim, but rather she has a vesed she'en kavua. A non-fixed interval, and a non-fixed interval is not dayashata. You have to worry about melei. About kivna, in a case where it was a fixed interval, 90-day, 90-day, kavala veset, she has a new cycle now, but dayashata, and therefore there's no tuma milima freya, cause mani Rabbi Dosa, this is according to the position of Rabbi Dosa we've seen before, that Rabbi Dosa believes when a woman has a fixed interval, then she doesn't have to worry about tuma lima freya, because oreach bismano ba, the guest comes at its regular time, and we assume if she has a fixed interval, the blood will come at that time, not before that. And therefore, daya shata. Okay, we'll stop over here, because the next sugya really flows all the way through into Dav Yod, and we'll continue tomorrow.